All right. Thank you, Don. This is Gijs. This is the Monday evening conference call, simulcast with this radio show. Thank you for those people that are joining in with us through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making it possible. Every time you hear a ding, as you just did, that somebody else joining, and I welcome those people that came in at the last minute. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Ronnie and Rob from Lenora.
Good to have you back again, Ronnie, and hello, Rob.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Sending you all loving kindness.
All right. Who else joined in? Welcome.
Yes,
hello, Wanda.
Shirley
welcome to the
Ohio.
Call.
Oh,
hello, Shirley.
Hello.
Felipe.
Thank you all
from California.
Who was that from California?
Felipe.
Felipe. Hey, brother. How are you doing?
Hello, brother. Hi, everyone.
Somebody making noise. Surely that's you. Believe it or not, I can see you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Jennifer from Ohio.
Who's this from? I picked up Ohio. Who's this?
Yes, Jennifer.
Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing? Welcome back.
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to talk to you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, it's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. Glad to have Santa Fe represented. Good evening to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Percy, North Carolina.
Good evening to you, Percy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Heis.
All right. Let's see. We are 2 minutes away from the hour. I welcome those folks joining in online as radio. Good evening and welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
This is Michael in Camino, California.
Michael, welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Doing great, bud. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Thank you for being here. All right.
You, man.
All right. Let's see. I'm checking the email. Yes. Came in at 5:30. Anunnaki, Egypt, Jesus, breakthrough. This is an exciting topic we talked about in the past. I've put some added spins on the whole thing, which is pretty mind-blowing. I can't prove I am correct, but I'll share my process in my detective work, and you can decide. So that's tonight. Good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. Unless you're in, then you don't have to announce yourself.
Oh, no, I was in the sub-conference.
Welcome to the call, Wynn. We had somebody else join in after you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Carola in Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Hello, Carola. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Carola, what's the most exciting thing that happened this week?
The most exciting thing that happened this week, a robin sang to me from a tree.
I thought it was me dropping by.
That was pretty good. All right.
And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello. My name's Brad.
Hello to you.
Yeah.
Hello, Brad. Where are you located?
Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles. Welcome to the call, Brad.
Hello. Thank you.
Brad, is this your
all
first
right.
time on the call?
Yes, it is.
Hey, well, welcome. This is Wynn. How did you hear about us?
Probably the George Norrie show, I think, maybe.
Okay. Great. Well, hey, what part of L.A. are you in?
Chatsworth, California.
All right. You know, I live in L.A. I live near Culver City. All right. Well, thanks for being here. And I can tell you, I suggest, anyway, try coming into the calls at least, like, particularly our Sunday call, once a week for a couple of months, because there's an energy on the calls that tends to help shift people's frequencies, makes them happier, and it's like, it's not intellectual, it's not logical. So sometimes you can miss it the first time you're on. But
did you say Sunday that was? Sunday.
The Sunday morning call has the highest energy, okay?
Okay.
But all our calls are pretty interesting. Like on the Wednesday call, on the Wednesday call, you know, we're talking to these guys in other dimensions, and people actually send us questions, and if you listen for a little bit, you might look at some area of your life where you're stuck. You can ask the question and see what they say. And that's really helped a lot of people, you know? And it's free. It's like, so,
okay.
Just recommendation. Go ahead, Hives. Back to you.
Right, then I turned off the dings, but I know and I believe and I feel, I think it's pretty interesting that I can tell you that I believe Marilyn from Arizona is here and Donna from Great Falls and Marshall and
Chris
Don Herman. And Chris from Memphis. Awesome. Thank you all for being here, folks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Now, come
here. It's
good to be back.
I forgot it was Monday.
How come you didn't say hello to Cleo?
Oh, Cleo, I said hello to her already.
Oh, he did say hello to me.
Okay. I'm just making sure, you know.
Thank you.
Hey, who I didn't say hello to yet, that is Terry Brown. Hello, Terry.
Hi there.
Hi, Terry.
How are you, sister?
Good, thank you. Good.
All right.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Wynn. Hi, hi.
Good showing to you, Terry.
Anna.
Thank you.
Hi, Marilyn. Wait a second. Donna. That was Donna, right?
Yeah, it was me. Yeah. I actually forgot today was Monday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Marshall, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hello,
I'm
Marshall.
Here.
Do you know what your last name is for?
Do I know what the last what?
Your last name, what it means.
I do not know what my last name means.
It means little shoe in Belgium.
Heights, my last name is...
Hello, Mr. Jim from Sedona. Welcome to the call.
Hello, Mr. Heights from Chico. Thank you.
Okay, I'm muting everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
We're starting the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
All right. This is April 13th, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Highs in Megalia, all of you, wherever you are, and Brad from Los Angeles, who thinks we're a bunch of drunks. Okay? I don't know. That's not true, Brad. But you know what? What's happened is, the people that keep coming into our calls kind of all get to feel like they know each other, and they kind of get kind of silly at the beginning of the calls. I didn't encourage that. I'm usually not even there. I usually come in at just on the hour or 1 minute after. So the day I got here a little early, we are recording, and, you know, the premise of these calls is that I talk and Terry makes noises on her phone and then she mutes herself and she forgets to unmute herself when she's supposed to talk. Is that right, Terry? Now I'm going to get a bunch of emails from people telling me that I'm harassing you, right? That happens, you know. Be nice to Terry. But you know what? I am nice to Terry. Okay? And
yes.
It's like...
Terry, nice to you, Ben.
Is she nice to me? She's okay.
I'm a little bit ornery during tax season, though. It's tax season right now.
Yeah.
Ben, now you're making noise. Stop it.
Now it's me making
noise. Are you eating potato chips?
No, I'm putting my battery in my phone.
Okay.
But in any case, what happens on this wine is actually not silly. We're silly. But the silliness, what I've learned, this is like, I've been in a fairly unusual experience. And the experience has been that I have been having these conversations with these, what identifies themselves as group souls in other dimensions. We've asked them a lot of questions. A lot of times we talk to them live on these calls. And I tell people not to believe they are who they say they are, but to check it out. And there's two amazing things about the intelligence that we talk to. And one of them is they have information about things that cannot be figured out on the human side of the veil here. And so we've asked them numerous questions. And they have answered questions on big things and the most little things, like, when people have hang-ups or problems or dilemmas or issues or whatever, they ask them on our Wednesday calls, and our sources answer them. And you have to decide yourself by listening if it's meeting my hype, where I say it's really wise, it's really loving, and it seems like when you ask a question, oftentimes people that ask a question have the experience that they tuned into them personally, and they gave an answer that fit them in a rather good fit, you know? Because, you know, oftentimes when people ask questions and you get answers, I would say, well, could that answer fit everybody? Sometimes they could. But oftentimes it's very specific. And then the other thing they do is they can project energy into the space. And you just imagine that they're real. They exist way out there. But they also exist right here. They are, they say they created the universe, and they say they have the key to the matrix of the universe. They say they can, you know, make a person feel a sense of love from another dimension. And an awful lot of people are having that experience. So I'm a skeptic. And so I think anyone checking us out should be a skeptic. And just to see in case that is real, because that's a really valuable thing to experience in your life, to feel a sense of loving without a human present. And then it's hard to explain. You know, it's like you have to experience it. But be skeptical, because... But I'm not getting out of this I'm not getting anything out of this other than the pleasure of making contributions to other people's lives. We don't charge for these calls. We have our book we don't charge for. Occasionally we charge a small amount for something. Occasionally I'll sell a product to help support all the other things we're doing. But the essence of the work is available to anyone who shows up. And you know, you and does their own distinction. There's nothing you have to believe in to be here. So this evening, if you saw my email blast, first of all, today is the last. Tomorrow, if I do another blast tomorrow, which I'm not scheduled to do, but I might do it, there's a chance to, last chance to make a donation for flowers for Carla. Now, you know, this is, if you read today's email, I was thinking how unusual this is because, you know, Carla has passed away. She's not in a physical body. And Brad, I'll just tell you that Carla has been one of the regular participants in our calls, who's also a channel, and she's done things that have really made a big contribution to this realm. And in fact, if it wasn't for her work, which happened in 1981 to 83, her major work, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. David Wilcock wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And Carla resonated with us and has been a regular participant on our Wednesday calls. And she passed on April 1st. And she's a lot of people
Sunday call.
Love her on her Sunday call. She passed. Right. And now, I don't go around looking to talk to dead people, deceased people, the politically correct way of saying it, okay? But Terry happens to be a channel, and she's the person that brings through the Elohim, the Ra'an group, and we're not going to do it tonight. I was, but she said she's tired, so we're going to put it off till she finishes her taxes. But she not only can bring in higher dimensions, oftentimes, as anyone who's been on the call for a while has seen that sometimes somebody that's deceased will give a message to someone through Terry. Now, I don't encourage that. I don't look for it. In fact, I won't, if the demand got too high, I might say, stop it, okay? We're not going to do that anymore. But it's been very healing for people, and it's been really helpful for the person who's on the other side to connect with someone down here, and sometimes it brings a greater degree of completion. And, you know, when that started happening, even I was skeptical. Are they really who they say they are? Is that really the deceased soul speaking to us? Terry, you're making noise.
Oh, sorry.
Got to stay on top of you. Man. So, Carla has, I would say, the right word to describe Carla is beloved. And she has been, I mean, she is a sweetheart. She is beautiful. And people that have been on our calls regularly love her. She's much more lovable than I am, I can say. and so last Monday, Heis, Terry comes on the call and she says she has a surprise for us. And Carla is suddenly, or let's just say a voice that says it's Carla, is suddenly addressing our group. And according to that call, Carla is hanging around this realm, and she's hanging around, particularly around the house where she lives and her husband. And she's anticipating her funeral, and she's going to be coming to her funeral. And no one's going to know it. Maybe her husband will, but that's the way it works. People, I know that's a pretty common phenomena, that somebody passes this realm, and then they attend their own funeral, but nobody knows they're there. And Carla has announced she's going to be there and greeting everybody. And she's not going to say hello to them, but she's going to send energy to people so that people can feel her. And her husband tells me she loves flowers. In fact, I remember one time she was on the call, and her husband had given her some red roses, and she was felt so good about that. Okay, so where's the
yellow roses?
Yellow roses. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to have somebody to correct me here. Good. So we're going to be sending her some flowers, and probably quite a few, because we raised about $400. And who knows? She might come back here and tell us how much she liked them. All right? So don't miss out. Donate a little bit, even a couple bucks. So if that happens, you're ready. I'm not saying it will. I'm not going to look for it, but things have a way of happening that are fairly unpredictable, and Carla does love our group, so she may come back, all right? And it was on today's email. You can donate anything you want, $1, $2, $50, you know. But if you've loved Carla and you think it's possible she's going to appreciate these flowers, you can even send a comment, which we will put a booklet of all the emails people sent me and get them there, okay, so that they're there at the funeral. So if people say things, somebody can read them. Okay, so now, on with the call for tonight. I said I was going to bring up some new information about the whole Anunnaki Egypt Jesus thing. And, you know, we've done some really breakthrough calls in the past on this topic. Breakthrough, stuff that we're putting stuff together that I don't believe has ever been put together in this realm before. And I might be wrong. I might be making a mistake somewhere along the line. I'm willing to be open to that. But I might be right, and you can decide, because you'll see how I put stuff together, okay? Like, who is Jesus? Where did Jesus come from? Well, one of the things that I had three fairly good pieces of evidence for is that Jesus was connected to the Ra group, and it was part of the plan of the Ra group to attempt to lift us the vibration of this realm. And, of course, the Ra group is the group soul that was talking through Edgar Cayce, talking through David Wilcock, talking to the Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten, according to Carla Rucker, and made an intervention on an early life of Edgar Cayce, 10,500 B.C., So how do I come to the conclusion that the Ra group was connected to Jesus? So I'll give you all the points. The first point that came to me was in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, in one of the channelings that David was doing, there was just one sentence. And I read that sentence and I said, wonder what they mean by this. The paraphrase of the sentence goes, Christianity was our religion, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way it got distorted by religion, by the church, okay? Now they said Christianity was our religion. What does that mean? What do they mean by being our religion? Sounds like they had something to do with it. Now, they never talked about it any further, just that one sentence leaked through. And then Edgar Cayce, he obviously had a voice talking through him that was able to do all these things. And his voice never really said who they were. And he thought it was Christ. Now, Edgar Cayce was religious. It's very interesting how religious people who are Christians, get connected with this stuff, and they still are Christians. I mean, see, my take is it's the same energy. Carla Rucker, who we were talking about, who passed
Carla Rucker, went to church a good portion of her life. And then she started channeling Ra. And you know what? She never made the connection of Ra connecting to Jesus. But she really adored Jesus. She would have said, Jesus is my personal guy. And then she could channel the Ra group with no compromise. Normally, if somebody's a Christian and they get exposed to channeling, they will either think it's demonic or they'll do a different take on their Christianity. But both Carla and Edgar Cayce were both Christians, and they both were channeling Ra. And, you know, now Ra is not official for Edgar Cayce, but it's obvious to me that's who he was channeling. And then myself, I have two women who have been in my life who are channels. And then with Daphne, in early on, I asked the question, when Jesus said, Father, who was speaking through him? And the answer was the Ra group. And then that same information came through Terry. And then there's this book, Voyagers, that was a very obscure book and very hard to understand, but in one section, they said in that book that the Ra group was responsible, the Ra Confederacy is what they called them, was responsible for removing the seals from the chakras or helping a person do that so they could ascend into the higher realms. Okay? Then they said in religion, this was often referred to as Judgment Day, but it really wasn't judgment. It was just that they were protecting the higher realms so that only those beings who were honoring the law of one could ascend or get there, okay? And so now, again, talking about ascending, talking about harvesting, talking about graduating this realm, and the Ra group is the main player in that book. It all starts to fit together. Ra has something to do with Jesus. But let's look at the long story now. Why? How does Ra work? How does the Elohim work? And what's the track line to bring this together? Well, we did a bunch of calls on this, and I'm pretty sure there's enough backup to what I'm going to say that it's true. And I'm not going to give all the backup, but there was this civilization in Sumeria. Sumeria, I believe, is Iraq or Iran now, in that area. And it is the oldest civilization of recorded history. And there was a Jewish scholar by the name of Zacharias Sitchin that supposedly translated Sumerian tablets and came out with a number of books on it. And he was saying that he was finding that the Sumerians, there was an alien ET race that landed here to do gold mining, and their bodies were not suitable for physical labor in this realm, so they genetically engineered a new breed of beings that were a cross between their DNA and Neanderthal man DNA, or ape DNA, one or the other. But in any case, there were two brothers on this ET crew, and the two brothers were at odds with each other. One brother wanted to create these new beings, i.e. us, humans, wanted to create them so they could breed, so they could have children. And the other brother didn't. And there was a planetary edict about not messing with the evolution of a planet. So putting on a slave that didn't continue was okay, but putting on a being that would have babies, and they would have babies, was not okay, because now you're changing the evolutionary path of the planet. So the one that wanted to breed the humans or let them breed won, but there was a fight that ensued. And there were these, the humans started breeding like crazy, having children like crazy in the Middle East. And the Anunnaki, the space guys, were acting as gods for these humans. And they were vying for position. They'd each have their city. And they would fight with each other. And they'd each announce they were the only god. And there's a lot of indication that the gods of the Old Testament were actually the spacemen, the Anunnaki. And the, if you, you know, one call we did that was very interesting was Michael Tellinger, who wrote a book about this called Slave Species of the Gods, was talking about how the Old Testament God is such a horrible being in most cases. In other words, if I read all the quotes, I don't remember them, but, you know, he was telling people to cut off their arm if they steal something from you, pound, take their eyes out. If someone has cheats on his wife, cut his penis off. I don't remember all the things, but it was like horrible. And, you know, when I read it, I said, hey, who is talking here? It doesn't sound like God to me. It doesn't sound like a loving God. And, of course, in the Old Testament, it was the God of fear. And, in fact, things like Sodom and Gomorrah, you never heard me say this, was the one brother nuking a city. And they did. They nuked some cities. And that was scaring the hell out of the people. So they were getting the people to cooperate and do what they said. And so now we have Jesus. We have the Anunnaki. Even the Egyptians were under the spell of the Anunnaki. And the gods of the Egyptians, my take, were Anunnaki. Would you ever ask yourself why the Old Testament has all these different names for God? There's Yahweh, there's Jehovah. Who's the other? Adonai. And there's more. But why? I mean, if there's only one God, why does he need three names? It's because there wasn't one God. There was a bunch of Anunnaki all trying to be the God of their township, and most cases wanting to expand from that position to owning more, okay? And now, let's go back and look at Ra a second. I'm just putting in little puzzle pieces here. We look at the Ra group. The Ra group says they are a group soul made up of individual souls like yours and mine that graduated this realm. And they came together to form a group because there was more power in a group, and they wanted to evolve planetary populations who were at lower levels. So you get that? Here we are, you and I, we are a planetary population at a lower level, right? And someday, after many lifetimes, depending on our own paths, there's a good chance we'll go back to the rock group and start working on it from the other side. And in fact, the rock group says there's 100 million people on our planet who are from their group that volunteered to come back here to help lift the vibration here because there was so much negativity. And another thing the Ra group said is 90 million of those people that came back got lost once they came back. They didn't remember their true mission. So only 10% are actually doing something that's effective. Many people that discover our group are from those 100 million Ra souls that volunteered to come back. And usually, if you're one of those people that feels alienated, if you feel misunderstood, if you're bored with what most people are interested in, and you have understanding of people, but they don't understand you, and there's all these symptoms of being from the Ra group, which they call a wanderer, and many people in this realm, actually many of the people that discover our work and keep coming to calls, usually fit into that description as wanderers, beings from the Ra group who came to this realm to be of service. And once they're here, it's, where am I? And you know, they try to grow up in the reality systems here, and but they're coming in from a bigger reality system. So when you come in from a bigger reality system and you try to compress yourself into a smaller reality system, your energy is like popping out all over the place. And it's my take. That's why people get ADD and other things, because their high selves are protecting them from getting caught in the reality systems here. And so, you know, now we have the Anunnaki vying for control over the humans, who are now spreading out, making all these different cities, ancient cities in the Middle East. The Anunnaki are playing God for them. The gods of the Old Testament are the gods of the Anunnaki. I believe lots of indication on that. You can just look that up on Google. You'll see loads of pages. Let's put Anunnaki, Old Testament, and you know, if you recall in the Old Testament, it always talks about an angel appearing in a pillar of fire. What's a pillar of fire? It's a UFO, right? So it explains what seems to be some of the miraculous phenomena that's in the Old Testament. Okay, now, I want to go back and do another little point here. And we're going to go back to the Ra group, and we're going to go back 500,000 years. And 500,000 years ago, there was a planet in our solar system called Maldek. And this is according to the Ra channelings of Carla Rucker. And Maldek blew itself up and was totally destroyed in a nuclear waste. And the beings on Maldek, when you die in a nuclear explosion, you end up in a tangled mass of fear. That's how it's described. So now the people, the Ra group, took it upon itself to try to untangle all the planetary population on Maldek. We might be talking about a few billion people. I'm actually got it in my works to do a call just on Maldek and learn more about Maldek and what it was like before it blew itself up. So Ra is untangling these Maldekian souls, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And they look down on Earth and they see, oh, look, there's that Anunnaki group. They're making lots of bodies there. you know, they're having lots of babies. Let's take the Malbecian souls and engineer it so they can occupy the Anunnaki babies, and that will give them a new venue to grow in. And that's what, now no one has ever said that but me. When I read the raw material, and I'll have to go back, maybe it's somewhere in there, they said, we brought the Malbecian souls to Earth and connected them to the available bodies. That's what I recall reading. But what were the available bodies? In my opinion, it was the Anunnaki. So the Ra group has kind of got a vested interest in the evolution of these tangled souls. So now let's look at what the Ra, from the Ra group's point of view, they're seeing the Anunnaki enslave people. They're seeing them nuke people. And it seems to me that this is their baby, the Ra group's baby, so to speak. So now the Ra group says, how do we fix this? Now, we're connecting the Ra group to Jesus. And that the Ra group gave all the indications of the things that I had uncovered connecting the Ra group to Jesus. And one of the things I didn't mention is the wisdom in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the overview wisdom of the universe and the lovingness in those channelings. And the Ra group was attempting to impact our planet. And what they did was they worked with Edgar Cayce, established a lot of credibility, and then they planned to bring him in again, which they did. But it was, David didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be a public channel. And so that's when I had my experience, and I don't know if that's what they were thinking, but it was certainly awkward and weird that I'm writing this book, and suddenly they start coming to me through two personal relationships. So many of us might be part of the Malbecians who came in and are trying to unfragment our souls. That's what I was going to do a session on. I want to ask that. Because I want to ask what percentage of the people paying attention to my work have fragmented souls, which means we have to shut. Went to a blank. I'll be back. Hang on a second. Many of the people have fragmented souls. Some of the people do, and we want to learn. Some people talk about, some people are emailing me recently about the idea of soul retrieval, where your soul is fragmented. And, you know, we want to do a session to see if part of the reason for that is being part of the Malbecian group that got caught up in that explosion. So now let's go back to the Old Testament. We have all these Anunnaki vying for God, Godship, and control. Now, here is the new piece of information. Where did the idea of Messiah come from? Okay, in the Old Testament, there were all kinds of innuendos and predictions that there was going to be a Messiah coming. Now, if the gods in the Old Testament were all crooked, so to speak, or most of them crooked, where is this prophecy coming from? Well, I was thinking originally, maybe the Ra group was coming through in between all the other stuff and trying to arrange this. But then I was thinking, you know, would it really be the Ra group's style to create the Messiah, because the premise, the cosmology of the Ra group is the law of one, and that there's no hierarchy. And just the word Messiah creates the implication of a hierarchy, and the Son of God creates an implication of a hierarchy. The idea is not to get you and I to give up our power. We're not supposed to give up our power to some God and to God's will. We're supposed to be learning how to be empowered. And if God had a will that he was going to express, it would be all you can be and love each other. And don't hurt each other. And that's it. You know, God doesn't want to be an authority. But even using the word God, it's like maybe a misnomer, because in the absolute sense, it seems to me that God, in the traditional Western way of looking at God, thinking there's a being up there that is just looking down on us, that created everything and can do whatever he wants, is not actually accurate. And the position of God is by and large played by these two group souls, the Elohim group soul and the Ra group. And when I ask the Elohim directly, do you like to be worshipped? They said, no. They said, essentially, they were part of us, and we were part of them. They're just a higher aspect of us, and we're a lower aspect of them. And that the best way of relating is like they're our brother in a higher level. And, you know, as I read the story of the creation of the universe, it's pretty obvious to me the Elohim didn't want to control everything. They wanted everything to grow by its own impetus, and that the interactions between the beings theoretically would cause the growth. So now we have all of these prophecies coming through the Old Testament period, and it doesn't seem like Ra would be prophesizing a Messiah. But the Anunnaki could very easily be prophesizing a Messiah. And one of the more powerful Anunnaki could be creating a stage so that they could have one prophet control everything, be in charge of everything. And so here's my premise. You know, Michael Challenger, who's an expert on this, said that, and so did Sasha, I forget his last name, he was on our call, who studied with Zachariah Sitchin, said that. And so now we have this whole preparation for the Messiah, the birth of Jesus, but it's an Anunnaki preparation designed to have more control of everything. Perhaps it was one of the more powerful God forms, like Enlil, who was engineering the coming of Jesus. And my take on this is that the soul that came in for their Messiah was either a member of the Ra group or started communicating with the Ra group. Surprise! He's not going to follow the party line. He is going to work to liberate people, not to further enslave them. And so he does his Jesus ministry, and, you know, he's working with the higher realms. He's doing miracles, and the Ra group is helping. And he shifted his alliances, that he was born into the alliance, to be born into the Anunnaki projection, and he didn't fulfill it. And maybe that's why he got killed, and maybe that's why the negative quickly came in after his death and took over the church and took over Jesus as someone they could use to control people because his life was so impactful. And those of you that have been on our line regularly heard our conversations with Terry Friedman. And Terry really...
All right. And when the energy gets high, then the phone line drops out, so let's wait for Wynn to come back. Terry Brown, will you please check on Wynn that he knows that he dropped out?
Okay, I'm back. I'm back. Okay. Terry Friedman has memories of walking around with Jesus. And anyone who's heard him on our calls or read his book knows that he makes a really good case to having actually been with Jesus. Now, Terry Friedman is not a devotee of our work. He's not aware of the Ra group, but he's heard me talk about it. He's heard us talk about it online, but he hasn't integrated it into his consciousness. He's not even sure about the Elohim group, but his memories of being with Jesus are impeccable, and his work has extremely high frequency attached to it. And so I've got, you know, you guys maybe don't know it, but every time Terry is on the calls, I always sneak in a question. And the answers from Terry have amazed me. Like, one of them was when Jesus knew he was going to be leaving this realm, he told his disciples, don't start a church. Go two by two and minister to the people. And there's the famous saying in the Bible, on this rock I build my church, where Jesus seems to be getting Peter to start a church. Now, Terry Friedman said Jesus never said that. That never came through Jesus, and it was something the negative used because they wanted to quickly start a church because Jesus had gotten so popular amongst the people. And so that was one of the things. Another thing that was very interesting that I picked up had to do with Judas. And in Carla Ruckert's raw material, now in her material they never said what I'm saying. They never connected the raw group up with Jesus. And they couldn't because Carla was going to church every Sunday. How could she reconcile that? Would have been too much. But they did. They asked about Judas, and they said that Judas knew he was going to betray Jesus, but so did Jesus. It was part of an inner plan, and Judas was really not a bad guy. And so when I asked Terry Friedman about this, he said exactly the same thing. Another thing that he said was Jesus told his disciples when they would be going into a town, they were going to be doing some work with the people in the town, he said, don't tell them I'm the Messiah. I just want to be a regular guy. So that sounds like the Ra group, okay? So it seems to me that Jesus was forced into this role of being a Messiah,
And then he probably did a better job of it than anyone else ever could have. And maybe he was a Messiah in the highest sense of the word. But my take is that Messiah aspect of Jesus just could have been part of an Anunnaki plan to get the ultimate God in this realm and have everyone give up their power. You know, they're still running that plan in the sense that one of the plans that I've read that I think is true is that they want to bring the world to its knees economically, by war, whichever way, so everyone is really desperate. And then they want to have spaceships land so people will give up their power to these ETs who are going to save us. But they're not going to save us. They'll look like they're saving us. They might even do some miracles. But their whole deal is to get us to capitulate to them energetically. And there's a whole plan to take over this planet by ETs. But that's the way the negative works. They know about karma. So they attempt to get people to free willingly surrender, even with trickery, so they get their way. And so it would make sense that they would do that with Jesus and they'd start a church. Even though Jesus said, don't start a church, he probably knew exactly what was going on. And he was playing it out, but he switched allegiances. He was no longer under the Anunnaki control, and he was under the Ra group, who was working through him in order to continue the evolution of the souls from Maldek that had come to this planet. Now, if that sounds far out, it really is. But it's not as far out as God sending his only son into heaven. I hope I don't get anybody mad at me for saying this, but who is God sending his son into this realm? What is God? If God is the Elohim and the Ra group are the closest we have to God, and that they do answer prayers, and they do answer calls, and if somebody says God with a pure heart, they will answer it. They can answer it. And we talk to them all the time on Sundays. So if you're new on the call and this is blowing your mind, don't believe a word of it. Just come Sunday. We don't usually get this esoteric. But I just wanted to put out my thoughts on how this could be and how it could work, why there was a Messiah, why that word was used, and it starts to make a flow in the idea of Jesus, okay, and makes sense. And on that note, I think we're just about finished time-wise, and now, remember, I said, I'm not saying to believe that. Maybe I shouldn't even say it, because if somebody's on the call and has the reverence to Jesus, because even Carlet did, then please disregard this call and hold that reverence. I asked a question recently, and the question was, you know, a lot of people believe they have a personal relationship with Jesus. How does that work? How can you have a personal relationship with so many people? And basically they said that Jesus is continuing this work. He's holding the space from the other side. He can operate non-linearly, and there's not a limit to how many people he can work with in this realm to call on him, and that he is answering calls. So what goes around comes around. I'm not taking that away from Jesus by telling this story. And on that note, it's 6:56. They're going to take us off from BBS. Thank you all for being here. Send money for Carlos Flowers.
100% of what's sent, except for PayPal charges, are going to go towards that, and it's going to be, create a huge, beautiful display at the funeral, and Carla's going to be there appreciating it.